Two Chairs No Waiting, episode number 589. I know you won't let me down. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you each week by the folks over at WeaversDepartmentStore.com. Drop by over at Weavers. Hey, it's summertime. You need some new t-shirts. You can get you a Myers Lake t-shirt when you go fishing or just walking around town. You can also get you a Troops Mayberry shirt. It's got Andy and Gomer and Barney on there. Those are exclusive shirts to Weavers, so head over to WeaversDepartmentStore.com and check them out. Two Chairs No Waiting is also brought to you by donations from listeners just like you. The executive producer of episode number 589 is Randy Vinson. Randy, thank you, Randy. Yay. Thank you for being here as well. I'm Alan Newsome, your host for Two Chairs No Waiting. It's always fun to spend a little bit of time in Mayberry with you guys and just talking to you. I mean, I love talking about the Andy Griffith Show. Last week, you know, the episode was a peaceful, easy feeling. So this week, thanks to Terry Varville giving me the idea, he said, you know, he really thought maybe I know you won't let me down would be a great name for this week's, since last week's was a peaceful, easy feeling. I know you won't let me down. And I was like, oh, I have got to name it that. And the reason Terry came up with that, or we came up with it talking, was he was watching YouTube last week. Okay. And was looking at some rock stuff, evidently. And in the rock category, Terry ran across what he thought was funny. He was browsing YouTube and said, look what they had suggested for me under the rock music category. And it was actually Two Chairs No Waiting, episode number 588, Peaceful, Easy Feeling, was being recommended on YouTube in the rock music category. So that's where this whole thing of going and calling it, I Know You Won't Let Me Down, because I believe the Eagles song is probably what happened. They thought that was the Eagles song. And it did have a picture of Ernest T. It was a picture of Ernest T there on it. So maybe it was rock because of Ernest T. I don't know. I think it was because they thought it was the Eagles. But anyway, so let's have fun with this and go, because I have a great story to tell you about an event that occurred back in 2001. And I'm going to tell you a story about that. And I think first, though, we're going to go in here from This Week in Mayberry History with Randy Turner. So let's go hear that.
Welcome to This Week in Mayberry History, a report by special correspondent Randy Turner of the Gomer and Cooper Pyle Comic Book Literary Guild of the Mayberry Historical Society.
In the 12 months following my report in the Two Chairs No Waiting podcast number 573, on the introduction of the musical mountain family The Darlings and The Darlings Are Coming, I am also featuring individual reports on each of the four band members. Check out podcast episode 574 to hear about mandolin player Dean Webb, and episode 582 to hear about guitarist Rodney Dillard. The other three members of the Dillards were all born in Missouri, though Doug and Rodney actually grew up in the Ozarks. But Mitch Jane was born in Hammond, Indiana, near Chicago, on July the 5th, 1928. Mitch often repeated the adage that one should never let the facts get in the way of a good story. He steadfastly argued he was from Missouri, saying an insignificant item such as a birth certificate doesn't make him wrong. He likewise was fond of arguing his birthday was actually July the 4th, not the 5th, saying if the birth certificate was accurate, then how do you explain everyone shooting off fireworks for him to celebrate his birthday on the 4th? Mitch's family actually did move to Missouri when he was 2, but he grew up in a small town in the northwest corner of the state, near the Iowa and Illinois borders, not in the Ozarks in the southern part of Missouri. When Mitch graduated from high school, he immediately enlisted in the Navy, where he was a tail gunner on a torpedo bomber launched from an aircraft carrier. After his military service, Mitch attended Northeast Missouri Teachers College for 2 years, then transferred to the University of Missouri in Columbia. While there, he met his future wife, who had been born in a log cabin in the Ozarks. Mitch became enthralled with the area, and during his final semester, drove to Salem, Missouri, and was hired as the teacher in a one-room schoolhouse. While there, Mitch was fascinated by the archaic and Elizabethan language used by his students. He gave the example of a six-year-old who described his father by saying, "He principally farms, and when he isn't farming, he sits on the porch and plays the fiddle just to beguile the time." In 1953, after 4 years of teaching, the school was consolidated into a more modern school system. Mitch decided to try radio instead. He was hired by the smaller radio station WSMO in Salem. Their call letters derived from S for Salem and MO as the abbreviation for Missouri. Quite the storyteller, and playing bluegrass on air when other local stations were playing country music, Mitch peppered his five-day-a-week show with satiric comedy bits, such as a regular feature he called the Snake and Tick Market Report, where he reported market prices for black, copperhead, coach whip, garter, and rattlesnakes, and for Hoo Boy White Dot Crush-Proof Dry Valley Wonder Ticks. Not surprisingly, Mitch developed a loyal following, including two local boys named Doug and Rodney Dillard. The three became friends, and Mitch often hosted bands the boys were in who performed on his show. When Doug and Rodney, along with Dean Webb, the mandolin player who had joined them, contemplated leaving the Ozarks to try to land a recurring contract in California, Mitch had to take a large gamble. He had just been offered an announcer's position at a radio station in St. Louis that would have paid him $500 a week, five times more than he was making at WSMO. But Mitch turned down the position and traveled with the group, learning to play the bass so he could perform with them and take advantage of his quick wit and masterful storytelling ability as the band's MC. A good example of why Mitch was so desired by Doug and Rodney to serve as the band's MC can be seen in an introduction he often used. He would say to the audience, "Hi, we're the Dillards, and we're all hillbillies. I thought I'd better tell you that because you probably thought we were the Budapest String Quartet." Of course, Mitch's decision to turn down the St. Louis radio gig and join the Dillards turned out to have been a wise one. The young bluegrass wizards landed a recording contract with Elektra Records shortly after they arrived in Los Angeles. And before that month was out, they had also been cast as the Darling Boys, recurring characters in the Andy Griffith Show. Mitch performed with the band for decades, but in his later years, a hearing loss caused him to have to stop playing bass. Mitch devoted more time to his writing, authoring books on Ozark humor, including a memoir, Homegrown Stories and Home Fried Lies. He also wrote a weekly column in the local newspaper of his adopted hometown of Eminence, Missouri. Mitch passed away in 2010. But that's it for this week. As always, thanks for listening. And remember to take care of yourselves, watch out for one another, and take Andy's advice and act like somebody.
Thank you, Randy, for that great report. He always does them, doesn't he? If you want to make sure you don't miss out on any of the great things Randy's doing around Mayberry, send him an email at turnersgrade@gmail.com. turnersgrade@gmail.com. Send him an email, and he'll make sure you don't miss out on any of the fun stuff he's doing. So part of that story helped remind me of times that you know, I'd been around the Dillards and stuff like that. So it got me to thinking. And so I got a story to tell you that's a fun story. I hope you're going to like it. Let's get a little background music so that it, there we go. Just low background. So it's 2001 and I'm running around the house preparing for a trip to the Gaylord Opryland Hotel and Resort, the convention center up in Nashville. I'm getting ready to go. This is the first time that they'd had a Mayberry reunion inside the Opryland Hotel. It's a big event. Big deal. Big deal. Don Knotts, George Lindsay, Betty Lynn, Howard Morris, Maggie Peterson, Bernard Fox, and the Dillards were going to be there. And wow, what a great event it was going to be. And I'm lucky enough to not only be attending, but I'm going to be performing at this event as Floyd the Barber, along with these amazing people. I haven't performed, you know, since about, I don't know, 1994 as Floyd. I realize, you know, I really don't have very many autographs of the cast members that I've got to work with over the last 6.5 years. And I plan to fix it by asking my wife if she would take my hardcover Mayberry Memories book that was written by Jim Clark and Ken Beck. Take that book and go around and get as many autographs of Mayberry folks as she can. So now Jan tells me that she's worried that something might happen to the book. She's a little bit worried about it. Yeah, because as she's carrying it around, she could leave it somewhere or something could happen to it. And because the book already contained a few autographs that I'd gotten in Birmingham at an event, I believe. And so there was already some autographs in the book, but I just never did remember to take it around with me. Because, you know, I'm busy when I'm doing Floyd and working. I really don't have time to be carrying around something asking cast members for the Andy Griffith Show for an autograph. But Jan said she'd do it, and I told her, look, I know you won't let me down. You're not going to let me down. I'm 100% sure that you're going to take better care of it than I would if I was carrying around. So we pack up and we head up to Nashville to the Opryland Hotel, and whoo, it's fancy. I don't know if you stayed there, but it is a fancy place. The hotel, it's really big, and our room was nice. Oh, it was real nice. Big, nice room. I mean, I'm not used to living like this. And so, wow, what a great experience for me to get up there. And Jan, we were loving it. So as soon as we got to the hotel, we got all checked in and got in our room and everything, and then had to head down to the rehearsal. So we walked the, I don't know, mile, half a mile from our room down to the dinner theater, the big room, big conference room, big convention room there at the hotel where they were going to be doing part of the show. So the cast members all started coming in, and they were, you know, and getting ready to do the rehearsal and walk through the show. And, you know, here I am. I'm on top of the world, right? Because here I am at the Opryland Hotel with my wife. We're in this huge ballroom that all these Andy Griffith Show cast members that I've talked about are all in here, and they're getting ready to do a show. And it's hard to believe I'm getting to sit down at the table with them as they start walking through and talking through what's going to happen as part of the show. Here I am, Floyd the Barber, sitting there at the table with him. And David Browning was there as Barney, as the Mayberry deputy. And wow, what an experience it was that we were there. So we were there with the cast members. Howard Morris is up on stage. People were doing things, getting ready for the show, making sure that the cues are going to be right for the show. There's a lot goes into these shows that you put on when they're on stage like that. And there were all kinds of people around. Jan was walking around and visiting with either the cast members or their spouses or their kids in some cases were with them. And she was walking around and visiting. And there were all kinds of people that were there that were not part of the group, actually. They were fans. And by fans, I'm talking about Ray Stevens. Ray Stevens came by. He was there. You know, he's friends with George Lindsay. He dropped in and said hi to everybody. And then this other guy, he dropped in with us as well. Now, you know, I didn't really know who he was at the time. But we were all just, like I said, sitting in there. But this guy came in. I kind of knew who he was, but not completely. I'll tell you, it was Brad Paisley. Now, Brad Paisley, if you don't know, is a country music singer. and I think you probably know who he is, but this is 2001 that we're talking about. Okay, so in 2001,
I knew who he was.
So yeah, Jan's telling that she knew who he was. But in 2001, he had a couple of number one hits. He'd had one in 1999 called He Didn't Have to Be. And then he had one in 2000 that was called We Danced. So, you know, he was getting started. He had already had some hits, big number one hit songs. But I did know who he was. So I got to introduce myself and he shook hands. He was visiting with Doug Dillard, and of course he was huge fan of Don Knotts as well. So he'd come because he had a show that he had to go perform that night, and he came to the rehearsal and he got to play Rodney Dillard's guitar. He sat there and picked it just a little bit with Rodney and Doug, and they knew who he was, obviously. So Brad Paisley is there visiting with cast members because he's not going to be able to come to the show. And Jan, of course, had to get her picture made with him because she knew who he was. And so it wasn't until later that, I came back to the room after the shows, right? So we'd been to the shows, we'd gone and done the autograph sessions and all that kind of stuff. So I'm finally getting a chance to look at the books, right? The book. Remember me telling you about the book? Jan was going to carry my book around and get it autographed for me, right? So this book is Mayberry Memories. They don't make this book anymore. It's a hardcover book, and you know, so it's not made anymore. And Ken Beck and Jim Clark, it was autographed by them. I had their autograph. And so I started looking through the book because there's all kinds of names in there. There's Ronnie Schell. Oh, Bernard Fox. You know, Malcolm Merriweather himself signed it. Jackie Joseph had signed it already. She had signed it, I think, at a previous event. Dean Webb, Doug Dillard, Rodney Dillard. They all signed it for me. So I'm looking through all these amazing autographs in my book. You know, it's like, oh my goodness, this is so great. I flip the page and there's more autographs. There's Don Knotts' autograph. George Lindsay has autographed my book. And I'm so excited. I'm looking at the book and just so happy. Jan, thanks so much. Mary Grace Canfield, she had signed it previously for me down in Birmingham. And Howard Morris. I even have in this book, this Mayberry book, my Mayberry book, I have Kit McNear, Howard McNear's son, signed this book for me. Barbara Stewart from Gomer Pyle, you know, Miss Bunny. She was on the Andy Griffith Show as well. She signed it. Joy Ellison, she had signed it. So many people. Larry Hovis from, he was Gilly Walker on the Andy Griffith Show. He signed it. Maggie Peterson. All these amazing names on this page. I just kept reading the names and looking through them. And some of the names are kind of hard to read. If you ever got autographs from people, you know they're kind of hard. They're hard to read sometimes. Well, as I kept reading through all the names in this book that I had, I pop up here and it's like, it says, Alan and Jan, long live Mayberry. And I was reading this name and I'm going, what is this? I'm sitting there looking at it and I was going, is that a B? What is that? B? Bill somebody? Because his initials just look, I can't even figure out what this is. So remember, this is 2001. And Jan, I said, who signed my book, Jan? Whose name is this? She goes, oh, that's Brad Paisley. I was like, Brad Paisley? Why did you get Brad Paisley to sign my Mayberry book? He's a country singer. He's not a Mayberry. How do you get Brad Paisley to sign my book? And she starts going, well, it was the only thing I had. You know, I just had it with me. And sure enough, if you look at the picture I have of her and Brad Paisley, she's holding my book in her hand. She's got it. And he has a Sharpie in his hand. So she got him to sign my Mayberry book. This is what, I mean, not that I don't like Brad Paisley. I do, but this is my Mayberry book. How do you get Brad Paisley in my Mayberry book? So this is 2001. I'm upset. I cannot believe that you got this. Every time I look at my book, you know, over the next 2 or 3 years, I'm looking at this, and every time I look at it, I go, Who is it? Oh yeah, Brad Paisley. Why is he in my Mayberry book? So I'm frustrated that she signed my book. You know, I knew she wouldn't let me down, and she didn't. She got all these autographs for me, but I also have Brad Paisley in my book. So anyway, you know, some time passes. This is 2001. Like I said, Brad Paisley, country singer, had a lot of hits, But then in about, I think it was 2008. Matter of fact, it was June 9th, 2008. He re-recorded a version of a song that he had released on a previous album back in 2005. And that song was called Waiting on a Woman. So you may or may not realize, but Waiting on a Woman actually featured Brad Paisley and Andy Griffith. They sang that song together. Brad sang it, and Andy had lines that he did during the video. And Brad Paisley, I knew he's a huge Mayberry fan, so I mean, I wasn't, you know, he signed my book, you know, but wow. In 2008, from 2001 to 2008, suddenly that autograph in my book fit in perfectly. Because now Brad Paisley had sung a song with Andy Griffith, which, you know, made that autograph perfect in my Mayberry book. So little did I know that Jan had foresaw to be able to put an autograph in my book that I could not figure out whose name it was, that was not really Mayberry. He's a fan. He's a big fan. But it wasn't really a Mayberry book. But now he fit right in my Mayberry book. So now I'm proud to say that it's in there. Oh, Jan wants to say something.
In Brad Paisley's defense, he kept saying, "Are you sure? Are you really sure you want me to sign this book? Look at all these names. Are you really sure you want me to sign this book?" And I said, "Yes, it'll be okay. It's fine. I really want you to sign this book." And so, in his defense, he didn't want to sign the book. So, there you go.
But Jan got him to sign it.
She did good. It all worked out.
It worked out perfect. So, thank you, Brad Paisley, for signing my Mayberry book. And thank you, Jan, for getting Brad Paisley to sign my Mayberry book 7 years before there was a reason for him to sign it. So that should be a bonus that she was able to get it signed in my Mayberry book 7 years before he had a tight Mayberry connection with Andy Griffith. So thank you, Brad. And she did tell me that story that he had said, I really don't think I don't know if I ought to sign this. Look, you know. She said, "It was the only thing I had. It's the only thing I had." So anyway, now all is well with the world. And indeed, you know, Jan didn't let me down. She got that's right, greatest wife ever. So thanks, Jan, for that. And I hope you like that story. I hope Brad Paisley someday finds out about this story, because I just think it's funny. And wow. It's really cool that I have your autograph now. But there for about 7 years, I was going, why is his name in my book? So there you go, folks. I know you won't let me down. And she didn't. She didn't let me down. She got a bunch of autographs for me at that event. And I don't have that many, believe it or not. I've met so many of these cast members and stuff over the years. But I'm always working. And so I really don't have time to either take pictures with them. I don't get very many pictures a lot of times either. So it's, Jan was psychic in that, or psychotic. I'm not sure. It's psychic. She's kind of psychotic because she married me. I believe that's part of it. So folks, I hope you enjoyed that story. I hope you enjoyed the podcast tonight with Randy Turner. And just hearing, just all the fun stuff. That particular event, Randy had mentioned that Mitch had stopped playing, and he was not at that event because he had had difficulty hearing He did come back and play some events after that because he got some new hearing aids that he could hook directly into the bass, and he was able to hear a little better. But he was not there. I always hated that he wasn't there because Rodney, Dean, and Doug were all at that event and played. But Mitch was not there. And Mitch Jane was always great for a story. He had amazing stories to tell. So, friends, I hope you enjoyed the story I told. I know it's a story, all right. So, thanks for being here with me. I'd like to hear from you. Have you got a story kind of like that? Any kind of story about your Mayberry connections, I'd love to hear them. You can give me a call at 888-684-8415. Or you can email me at floyd@imayberry.com. If you can't remember that, head over to twochairsnowaiting.com, and that information is right there on the pages. You'll be able to find pretty easy. And, wow, what a blessed life I've had. And I thank Andy Griffith and the Andy Griffith Show for chances to meet people like Brad Paisley, Ray Stevens, and, of course, all the cast members from the show itself. Wow, what a great time. I hope you enjoy living it through me just a little bit. And we'll see you next time here on Two Chairs. Good night.